God, you're such an amazing, provisional, faithful, loving God. We just thank you, Lord. And just help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning, and just to give all the glory for everything you've done, Lord. You saved us. Wow, you're an amazing, awesome God. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I just want to read Psalm 29. It's such an amazing psalm. Ascribe or give glory unto the Lord, you mighty ones. Give the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Listen for the seven thunders. This is the seven thunders of the Holy Spirit here. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. Wow, that's Pentecost. Wow. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. That's the flood, Mabul in Hebrew. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Amen. Praise his name.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you for your word that is truth and that leads us. Thank you for every blessing that pours from you. And that you're a God who wants to make eye contact with us, like a father who loves us. We glorify your name, and we are excited about your presence here and your revelation here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. We had a powerful service yesterday, a wedding. Wasn't that awesome? Yes. 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 Amen. Yes, it was so precious. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, we invite you, Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Touch each heart here this morning. Every heart. Every heart. This is not a normal church service. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way here this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had planned to do this next week. They snuck up on me, this is the fourth Sunday. I was thinking in my brain, it's next week. So it's got to be the Holy Spirit, okay? Going to have the Lazarus boys share this morning their testimonies. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that I'm associate pastor here? Amen. Got a few. Okay. How many do you know that it's a paid position? A few. It's a paid position. I get paid for ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when I first, my first paycheck, I tell you, I just felt just like, holy crap, you know, this. You know, just like winning a lotto, for Pete's sake. You know, getting paid what I love. You know, I ministered, I've probably known Stan and Crystal for about going on 20 years now. I'll give you a short testimony of how it came about that we're here, that I'm here even today. Back 19 years ago, had a powerful experience with the living God, changed my life, changed my heart. We had ministered over at the Red Deer General psych ward there, one of the psych ward or whatever, it's a building out separate from the hospital for 2 years, just praying. And we heard about Potter's Hands opening up, and for some reason or another, they have a kitchen facility. So I took it upon myself, I guess, to God had been speaking to me. And so I went down to meet Stan and Crystal. I knew of him. I knew who he was, but I didn't actually maybe talk to him personally. But anyway, so I go down there, and I think it's a Saturday morning. I don't know. And so here they are. And so I just went over to Stan and introduced myself, and he knew of me, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. But anyway, I asked him. I says, is it possible for us to use this building on a Friday night for a couple hours, you know? And so he said, yeah. And I tell you, the Spirit of God was just so present there with us. And my sister Crystal was just crying and weeping away. But the presence of God was just... And so that began a relationship with Potter's Hands back 18 plus years ago, okay? And so I ministered down there for at least 12 years. Myself, Jeff was one of the last holdouts. You know, it would come and go. We'd have some awesome times, and then some other times we wouldn't have so awesome times. But anyway, we stayed the course. And what the Lord showed me is stay in the course, being disciplined to stay. If you make a commitment to God, then hold, okay? Hold it and keep it. Amen? So anyway, I went to Bible college here at Caroline Bible College for 2 months, just west of the city here, and to find out that God did not want me to go to Bible college, okay? And the reason I was just, you know, I was probably in my 40s, I guess, late 40s, just couldn't grasp it. Anyway, what God wanted from me was an apprenticeship, on-the-job training. So every Friday night we'd come down there, and you couldn't say, well, okay, this is going to happen because it happened last Friday. No, every Friday night was totally different, totally, totally different. We had to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And I'd come away from there, and I'd tell you, I would just get beat up on the way home. It was the worst service ever. My wife would encourage me and say, no, man, this was happening, that was happening. People were being healed. People were being ministered to. The word of God was spoken, but the enemy was just pounding on me. And so by the time I get to my house, it was the worst service ever. So I'd go back again. So these are things that I had to deal with. You had to fight with. Amen? So anyway, went through all that. And as far as speaking in public, man alive, I tell you, it was the worst fear, one of the worst fears ever. I tell you, but God helped me, hallelujah, get filled with the Holy Ghost and minister, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. And so, consequently, ended up being here at Potter's Hands 5 years now, I think, you know, and in the ministry 3 years, going on 3 years, so. Started a ministry 3, 4, 5 years ago, I guess it was, the Lazarus House. Is that right, Colleen? Colleen, is that 5 years ago? 5 years ago, we started a ministry. Maybe it was 3 years ago. Whatever the case, it doesn't matter. It's called the Lazarus House. And what we were hoping to do with the Lazarus House ministry was to disciple men, encourage men off the street to be rid of their addictions. And so the first three that we had in there, it was just a three-month thing, eh? And for these guys that have been drinking, alcoholics for 35 years, it's pretty hard to get rid of anything in 3 months, right? So, although we shared the gospel with them, and many of them, or three of them anyway, they're back on the streets or whatever, eh? But nevertheless, we've sowed the word of God in them. So now when I get back into when I got full-time ministry, I got handed the Lazarus House ministry. So, been working with that. Had Brother Jonathan Peterson that was there for over a year and a half.
just an excellent brother. Just had a real heart for these men. And but we just, seems like I wasn't there for him, for myself. We didn't really support him. He kind of threw him out there and said, okay, go for it, John. You know, and things worked out really well, I thought, but it could have been better. So, and then when he left, about 8-9 months ago maybe, things were kind of left, you know, to themselves. The guys were left to themselves. I went there Tuesday morning, and that was the extent of that. I had a few guys coming in on a Friday night, Len Beauchamp from Living Stones, Jim Lapka from the Word of Life, which is home church now. So I got them involved in it, eh? But the whole thing behind that was to get everybody involved. People that have, you know, a desire to share with them would be invited to come and help. And so if you have that desire, you want to come, just talk to me later. And so it's been very hard, but remember the last, we had our prayer retreat out here at Salem Acres. And unbeknown to you guys, we had been praying for a leader to rise up, that God would release a leader. And so God did orchestrate that. On the Friday that we were going to Salem Acres, Brother Ray came, and we met that morning at the kitchen. And I told him that we were going to be going to Salem Acres. And he said, man, I'd love to come. I said, well, door's open. So from that began a relationship. And so I just appreciate this brother. You know, he just, he's got the same desire, same dream, same vision. We're visionaries, and we see things, what can happen with this ministry called Lazarus House. Raising up disciples for Christ, amen? Pouring the word of God into them. And we really didn't have that much structure. And we're trying to pattern it after the Lazarus, or this ministry out of Delta, I guess it was, Delta BC, and then there's this other ministry that came up from Florida that we're trying to pattern it after, eh? And so, but myself and Ray and committee, we put a schedule together, and I think it's working really well. A lot of people in the churches are very undisciplined, and I'm one of them, very undisciplined. Like, I'm just haphazardly just doing this and doing that and going here and that. But if you have a structure, and I appreciate the structure that I do have now. The Purple Book Bible study has helped me to discipline myself, you know, because I got to present it to these guys and various other groups that I'm doing the study with, eh? So, and then Ray comes along, and so we put this plan together, and I really believe it's going to work awesome, just awesome. And we're looking at doing some camping trips with the guys, getting to know them, developing a relationship with these guys, and just pouring Christ into them as much as we can, taking them to different venues where that will happen. And so we got five guys that are going to come up right now. Jaron, come on up. Matthias. So these are the guys that are in Lazarus House right now. And so we're looking at expanding it, even right at that particular building. And we got some plans in development there so that we're going to utilize and expand this. So we're just going to hear a short testimony, various whatever, testimonies from their hearts of what God has been doing in their hearts and what led them to come to Lazarus House, and so forth. So just whatever the Holy Spirit puts on their heart, they're going to share this morning. So, amen? So the first one, we'll let Matthias go.
I came to the Lazarus House about a year ago. Before that, I lived at Jet's farm, and I had to move out of there, so I moved into one of Stan's apartments. But for a very long time in my life, in Belgium, except when I was in the hospital, I was just kind of alone by myself, and that was never a good thing for me. So I always kind of hoped that I would get into a place where I wouldn't have to live alone, and preferably where there would be other Christian men. So when Alvin told me that I could move into the Lazarus house, I was really happy. And so I got to know Jonathan and a lot of other people. And throughout that year, I had a lot of fire in me in the beginning, but then ever since I went to Belgium, I've kind of been struggling with my faith. But I like what the Lazarus House is doing, and I want to become a bigger part in it.
Can I turn around for this? Yeah, I'm Byron. I moved to Lazarus last August from High Level. I just wanted to change my life and find the Lord, give up the life that I used to have. And I found out that if I got away from the town and moved to somewhere where I didn't know anybody, it would be the perfect place, and it was. I've met so many awesome people here in the church. It's grateful to have a lot of support. I also want to thank Stan and Crystal, Alvin, and congratulations, Robin and Chad. There's just so many great people here. And before there was no structure in the house, it was just kind of laid back. We've seen people come and go in the past year, and I'm surprising that I'm still there. It's awesome working for Stan and everybody. I think that's great. That it keeps me busy. Some days I'm really tired, pooped from the whole day of work, and yet I still got to go to these Bible studies and stuff. And but it's a good thing, because it builds your spirit up more, and it helps me out. Ooh, I'm nervous. There's so much I want to say, and I just can't think of anything right now. Yeah, this is just kind of last minute, but I'm just happy now that I have great people in my life, Jared, Ray, Garrett, and Tyus. They've always been there for me. In the past couple weeks, I've had some great experiences too. Just the other night, I was playing game, and I was singing worship music and stuff, and I was playing with other people around the world, and I got lots of comments on my voice that I have a great voice of singing, and I was like, wow, like, it felt great. And I was playing with this other Christian. He was from Ohio or something, and he was me and him were talking about God and how he's changed my life. It was an amazing experience, because if you're playing online, there's a lot of judgmental people out there, and it was just really amazing how people actually supported my singing, and then I ran out of songs to sing, and they were like, no, keep going, and I was like, oh, I'll just sing the same songs that I just sang before. So that's what I did. And yeah, I know, I was actually kind of thinking of going up there and singing, but I don't know yet. I don't know. Yeah, he's just done so much great work in my life, and it's awesome. Yeah, my family's going through struggles, a lot of struggles, and it's kind of hard. I was talking to my parents last night, and they said that they wish that they could be here to see my testimony, and I think that'd be amazing. But so that's why I'm getting Jeff to record for me. That's awesome. What else was I gonna say? There was a lot I was gonna say. I don't know, just looking at life differently, never have to look at a bottle again, never have to. Never have to get high or anything like that. It's just I'm high on life, and there's like now there's gonna be like drug tests and everything, and I'm like actually excited for the next drug test because I know that every drug test that you take is just one more step goal, and then you're like, yes, I passed it. Can't wait for the next one. Next one. And yeah, and I know I'm not gonna be at Lazarus for long. I've been having a lot of thoughts because one of my best friends back home, she wants to move down here and change her life as well, and I'm encouraging her. So I'm hoping by the end of July I could save enough money. I already started with giving Alvin money like every paycheck to save, and I think it'd be great. And then she wants to change her life as well, and sure, I'll still be coming to prayer meetings and Bible studies and everything just to keep my life going. So I want to save at least $1,500 and do that, and then I got to drive all the way to High Level and pick her up and her stuff up and come back here and get a place and start a new life, the same life, but with a person that I've known in my life for years and years, and it's awesome to see that she wants to change too, and it's great. I was also talking to my parents last night about going to High Level, maybe mid-June or late June or something, just to go down for a visit for like maybe 4 or 5 days, just to see how my friends are doing back home. A lot of them have kids now, and I would like to see their kids, and it's just a great thing to have. And I got lots of support from them as well. They're happy that I'm changing my life. I'm happy that I'm changing my life. So yeah, I just gotta save up enough money for that too. All right, thank you, and thank you very much.
Morning. My name is Garrett. I just recently got into the Lazarus House, and believe me when I say my life was out of order. It was really, I was getting to the point where I was just down and out almost every single day, so I... it was strange how it came upon me actually being in the house. I just came for a visit, just came to talk with the guys, and then shortly after that, Ray here offered me a bed and just said, I didn't really want it because I didn't need it at the time. It was really, really strange how it came to be, but yeah, it just seemed like that's where I needed to be at the time in my life, like right now. Basically, I'm going through some issues with the courts and whatnot, but everything seemed to turn out fine as long as I stick with the word and just keep up with what I got to do. And thank you. But I couldn't say no to it, so I jumped at the chance, and I said yes, and then ever since then, my life has turned around. It's been unbelievable. Like, really, it's, my life is starting to come together, and I actually don't have to worry at the end of the day. Like, it's great. I really owe this to the Lord, and I owe this to the fellowship here, and... Yeah, long story short is my life was headed nowhere fast. I was, my next step was just prison. And after that, though, after I stepped into the house and talked with the guys, it just, like, everything seemed to click. We got along right there, and we've been talking before that. And, yeah, just my life has been nothing but great ever since then, and... It's something that I plan on keeping up with, because if I don't have the Lord in my life, then it's just going to go back into the same direction, same place, and really, I'm just thankful for the brothers that I got here standing up with me. But the house has been awesome. It's been great. I feel like my life is actually coming together, and there's really not much more I can touch base on. All right, well, thank you for having me.
Ha! Most difficult mic stand ever. my name is Jaron. I did my testimony a couple weeks ago, so I won't go too in-depth with it. I've been in the Lazarus house since March 31st, about 7 o'clock in the evening. I was in the homeless shelter before that. I kind of started out on my own. I showed up at Hope Mission, started going to prayer, Bible study, just kind of started building up my routine a little bit more and more from there. My faith, getting back into it. When I first moved in, it wasn't so great. You know, there was no real direction. It was just kind of my own discipline, I guess, that I just kept pushing through, seeking the Lord. There was no leader in there. I'm not really much of a leader, not really a follower. I'm usually somewhere on the side doing my own sort of thing. But being in there has been a great thing. Definitely learning more and more every day. It's a struggle sometimes, you know, the flesh wants to fight against it. But the more you discipline yourself and you keep doing it, the better and better you feel. And all I can say is he's doing great work for all of us. I can see, you know, we're starting to rise up there. We're, you know, and it can only get better from there. That's it.
I don't know about your God, but my God's got a twisted sense of humor, man. He sends the most undisciplined one to disciple. They got to be up at 7. Yeah, I don't want to get up until 7:30. But I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, my journey started with the Lord quite some time ago, and in a pretty bizarre way, you know. But wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. All I can do is tell you that I kind of reached the end of myself again, right? You know, you keep hitting that wall, and I end up down in the kitchen talking to Alvin here. And a few months before, you know, I'd been going up to home church, and, you know, on the card I'd written after my first visit, you know, that I wanted to know what my ministry was, when it said, you know, what can we do? And comment or prayer, right? And I said, I want to know what my ministry is, right? You know, I'm tired of this, right? You know, I just want to do what God wants me to do. I'm not too sure how to do it, you know, or where he wants me, or, you know, I'm confused, I'm lost, and, you know, I'm so busy doing my own thing all the time that, you know, I can't even hear his voice half the time, right? But anyway, standing on the train bridge there one morning, I said, okay, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? You know, and simple voice, go for breakfast. Right? Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, I was hungry anyway. Right? Yeah, you know, so I wander in, and I've met Alvin. I've been in Red Deer a few years before, and I met Alvin and Colleen and a few other people. And I saw Alvin there, and we started talking. We got talked me into going to this men's prayer retreat. Right, so I go to this retreat, and a friend of mine a couple of weeks earlier said, "You need to humble yourself before God. It's like flat on your face, humble yourself before God." And I said, "No way. No way I was going to home church. There's no way I'm getting up there, throwing myself on the carpet in front of 300 people. You know, it's just no way, right? You know, so little did I know, you know, probably 24 hours after we got to the retreat, I'm on flat on my face. Yeah. In front of God, you know, bawling my eyes out and apologizing for my arrogance, you know, and my pride, because that's my worst enemy, right? You know, and so a couple days or next day, following day, Monday, I guess a couple days later, you know, start talking with Alvin, talk about needing a leader for the house, right? And I said, well, you know, I'll kind of help develop some things, but, you know, Lazarus House, no, right? And so meet him with the next day, and we start talking, and meet with one of the board members and program, okay, well, we really need a leader. Okay, well, I'll do it till you find somebody, right? Next day, talking to Alvin, wow, we really need a leader. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 6 months, right? You know, And then Alvin goes on, yeah, well, you know about this year commitment. Okay, tell you what, Alvin, I'll do it to the end of the year, right? Yeah. Gets a couple of sentences. Okay, Alvin, I'll give you a year, man. Yeah. Yeah, so. And here's the funny thing, right, is I had a bus ticket, and I was going to BC to be a site supervisor for a fellow that I worked for in Calgary, right? And so I was on my way, you know, to please my own flesh again, you know. And, you know, the Lord has a funny way of just holding you up and getting a grip of you and saying, hey. You know, so he threw his ministry in my lap, and I tell you, what a blessing it has been to work with these guys. It's not been easy. You know, I've got a lot of hard edges that need to be hammered out. You know, I'm finding that I have a lot. Yeah. And you know what? It's painful. When God wants you to change and you don't want to change, man, I tell you. You know, but, you know, I tell you, I do have a soft spot in my heart, and that's for all these men right here. You know, and for... Yeah. And, you know, the greatest relationship that I've ever developed in my life is with... with my Lord.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? When we pray, thank you, Jesus. God brings the right man along at the right time, you know? So the value of prayer, I tell you, it's just so powerful. Continue to pray for these guys. I tell these guys, I says, man, you come under the umbrella of Potter's Hands Ministry, and there's people praying for us. There's people out there in the suburbs praying for Potter's Hands Ministry. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And these guys are under that covering, and so am I. So just continue to pray for these guys. It's not an easy job, you know, not an easy ministry. It's a frontline ministry that we're doing downtown. And Stan knows all about that. He's been under attack. And a lot of people here, anytime you put yourself in a position of that, of leadership, beware. The enemy is going to be attacking you. But greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. Hallelujah. We're going to get up. It's time for the church of the living God to begin to rise up. Hallelujah. And become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? And these men here are part of that. I got visions. I got dreams out. I want to take these guys into other churches in the city here. Give them opportunities. Share their testimony. Hallelujah. What God can do. Amen? God can rescue me. He can rescue them. He can rescue anybody. Okay? Put yourself in a position where you can receive, and I'll tell you, God will take you. Amen? Amen? And I like that saying that Ray has there, and I forgot it about the qualified. Just say that.
God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, right? That's right. That's
right. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you so much for Stan and known this man for going on 20 years and how he and his wife gave me that opportunity. No one else would, probably never, but he did, his wife. And I'm so appreciative of that, Lord. And to you, Jesus, bless my brother. Give him the words here this morning. But most of all, Lord, open up our hearts to hear what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Bless you.
That was good, right? Amen. And we remember all those guys at Lazarus House, but Ray especially, we're praying for you because you're leading. That's a good thing. Thank you, God. Wow, it's good to be here, right? Good to look how many people are here. We get to worship God together. God keeps growing us up. Congratulations, Robin and Chad. Wow, praise God. Yeah. Thank you for marriage, God. Thank you that you bring a man and a woman together and that it's by your design. And I thank you for the family. We're so blessed. I don't know who's all who's here, but I'm guessing you guys are all connected with Robin. I just want to say on behalf of everyone here, thank you very much. We are blessed to have her. Amen? Yeah. Thank you. We had a lot of fun yesterday. All these chairs and there was all tables in here. We had a big meal and then there was a big dance that went on and this place... totally different now. And by the way, I like the decorations. I hope we can kind of keep. Said, man, that looks a lot better on that pillar. So maybe we just put different flowers and different designs. That's right. Going to read together today from Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, just open with me to Luke chapter 10. And if you don't, it's going to be on the screen. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Before we read that, you just need to understand that there was, in the context of God's Word today, there was a real conflict between the Jewish people, the Hebrews, and the Samaritans. The Samaritans are like half Jews. So they, when the kingdom of Israel divided between the north and the south, the northern kingdom became part of the Samaritans. All kinds of things got messed up there. Tribes got lost. And so the Samaritans were like half-breeds. And because of that, there was this real conflict and animosity and hatred and even violence between the two different factions, the Jewish people and the Samaritans. In fact, just earlier on, you can read this on your own, but in Luke chapter 9, verse 56, when Jesus is passing through Samaria, his disciples get mad because there's this fight going on between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. And they said, hey, Jesus, should we just call down fire from heaven on these Samaritans? Let's just get rid of them. And Jesus says no, and he rebuked them for it. And so it's in that context of that sort of the racial hatred and the violence and the antagonism between those two nations that we read this story. So we're reading today from Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And this is what we read. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, and he told this story, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. By the way, that was about a 17-mile trip, and is about a 3,000, the elevation drops about 3,000 feet. So there's a lot of places in that road from Jericho to Jerusalem where robbers would hide, and it was a good place to rob people and to do all kinds of terrible things. It was a really rough road. So a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now you got to just stop a second here. You got to understand that when Jesus starts to tell this parable, and I mean, everyone's kind of nodding their head, and they're going along, okay, I'm getting it. There's a guy who's going on the road. We know this road. We know that it's a dangerous road. And okay, and then he gets beaten up by robbers. We've heard that before. Everything sounds like it's pretty normal until he says, a Samaritan. What? They would have gone, what? What are you talking about? Why? We don't even want to hear about Samaritans. We don't even want to hear you say the word Samaritan. And then for you to tell us that there was a Samaritan who helped this guy, this is rubbing them in the wrong way. Okay, so you got to understand that. But the Samaritan, when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Which of the three? Jesus said to him. And the expert of the law replied, and notice, he does not say the Samaritan. Right? Didn't he want to say who it was? He says, well, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Isn't that powerful? I don't know that we really get it. I don't know that we understand this. We're not in the context of that first century Palestine. We understand, you know, in our own world that we have different kinds of sometimes struggles between different races and some disparity sometimes. But I try to understand today, this was a kind of a parable. When Jesus told us, this was like revolutionary. People were going like, I don't want to hear this. Like, don't talk about Samaritans doing good things. We don't want to hear any of that. And especially don't talk about our priests and our Levites walking by on the other side of the road. Are you kidding me? Like, they're getting this. And you got to understand what it was like to live in that culture at that time. And really, you know, it starts with a question where the lawyer, he's a young lawyer, he's a teacher of the law. It starts with a question. He says, hey, master, teacher, how do we inherit an eternal life? In other words, how am I going to make it to heaven? What is it going to take, master? And the actual answer that Jesus gives, he doesn't even answer his question. He answers a different question. The question that Jesus answers is, what does it really look like to love somebody? What is love? And then you can infer some other answers about eternal life after that. But the question that Jesus really answers is, well, you know, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Isn't that what the law says? The law says you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you need to love your neighbor. Let's talk about that instead. We've been challenged recently with love. I've been talking about love. God's laying this on my heart, and it's hard, and every day there seems to be a new test, and you know that's true, too, in your lives. It's hard to know. How do you love? How do we love each other? And some people that we deal with, not easy to love. Some people who are still stuck in their addiction, or maybe just because of their personality, or because of whatever other reason, not everyone's easy to love. Not everyone, you know, is quick to embrace us. It's not easy to love, and yet, it's one of the main teachings in God's Word is that we need to love our neighbors. On Tuesday, we always have our big supper Tuesday night, and I'm always there. A bunch of you are there too. You know that it's not hard, it's not easy sometimes on a Tuesday night. Things get kind of rough. There are people who are mad at each other. We had some fights going on at the kitchen, and my Tuesday night started, I got there about 4 o'clock, and I usually sit in my truck for a little bit, and I'm praying, and because I'm thinking about doing a devotion. We always have a devotion. We always keep Christ-centered there. Little hands like this, and all of a sudden, there's a thing on my window, bang, bang, bang. I look, and there's a girl there that I've never seen. I don't even know who she is. Never met her before, and I rolled down my window, and she looked at me. She goes, hey, you want a date? And I said, no. But there's a supper right here. I was parked right in front of the building. I don't want a date, but you're welcome to come to supper. It starts in about 20 minutes, and she did. And then later on in the night, in the evening, there's this terrible fight happened outside on the corner, and one guy owed this guy money, and there was a swearing, and it was F this and F that, and I'm going to kill you, and if I get anyone to kill you, I'll pay him. He'll get all the free drugs for what. And I'm in the middle of this. I've got one guy on one hand, and I got the other guy in there, and they're just ready to, and I'm just, come on, guys, not here, come on. And I'm praying, Lord, protect me, save me. And one guy's got a knife, I know he's got a knife, you know, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, and across the street, there's all the shopkeepers, you know, all the stores across the street. They're all standing out, and they're doing this. They're watching what's going on across the street at Potter's Hands, and I'm going, God, just stop this, you know, let these guys, shut up these people, and I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to stop this mess, you know what I'm saying? Come on, guys, come on, stop it. Quit it. Not here, guys, not here. This is where you get fed. Come on, guys, this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Right? And finally, one of them walks away, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you know, that I'm not beat up or whatever. You know, sometimes there's danger involved in these things. But then the question comes to me, what does it really look like to love? You know, how do I? Isn't this, it's so complicated. It's not easy. How do you love people who don't even want to be loved? How do you love people who are possessed by their own addictions or by their own problems, the struggles that they're going through? How do we show love? How do you keep showing love? You know, there's times you want to just shut it all down and be done with it and move to Tahiti or some other place, right? But God calls us to love our neighbor. And Jesus makes it so clear in this story that our neighbor is exactly the person you don't even think about or you might not even consider. The one that you think you don't want anything to do with that person for whatever the reason is. That's who your neighbor is. The person who is the hardest to love and the hardest to really help and to reach out to. And you know who that person is in your life, or maybe you don't. Maybe you run into that person from time to time. But it's the hard ones to love. Those are the ones that we really show that Jesus is in us as we reach out and as we love them and maybe as we help them from time to time. I want to just start out today by saying that real love takes a real investment. And that's kind of the premise, I believe, for the whole parable of the Good Samaritan, that if we're really going to love, there it's going to cost us something. So if you came here today thinking, well, I want to love people, I want to learn about love, but I don't want it to cost me anything, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to put anything into this, I don't want it to take any kind of an investment of any sort, you're in the wrong place and you're not really listening to what God, you know, is teaching us. Because in God's Word today, what He's teaching us is that you need to be invested if you're going to really love your neighbor. It's going to cost you something. We don't want to hear that. I don't want it to cost me anything. I want to just live my, I want everything for me. I don't want to have to, it to cost my time or my energy or my money or my anything. But the reality is, here's maybe truth that you don't want to hear, that if you're really going to love your neighbor, it's going to cost you a lot. That there's an investment that you need to make into other people's lives that hurts, that costs, that takes our time, that's difficult, and that, as a matter of fact, it's so much easier to go, no, I don't want any part of this. I'm just going to go home and watch TV and do my own thing. I don't really want to love other people. And there's a whole lot of people, and you know this, there's a whole lot of people that we're all living our lives that way. I just care about me. I'm not going to care about anyone else. It's a lot simpler that way. But when Jesus said that really this is about loving our neighbor, we need to understand there is a huge investment involved in this. Love, you know, that's the difference. I wasn't going to get into this, but I'm going to do it real quickly. But that's the difference between sex and really having a marital love for someone. Sex, just sleeping with someone, there's no commitment, you're not invested in anything, it's just, you're in and out, whatever, you're done, there's nothing, you're not committed to this, it doesn't cost anything, you're not promising anything, there's no commitment. But that's different from, for example, this is just an example, but that's different from real marital love when you're in a marriage love relationship and you make promises and you are invested in this thing in every way. Agreed? Okay, I don't know why I got into that. But what you need to see today, let's look at this. The Good Samaritan who comes down that road and he, first of all, the Levite and the priest, you know, they go walk on the other side. And we'll get to that in a bit. Because Jesus is teaching us something there about religion and about religious people compared to someone who's a Samaritan who decides to go and actually help this guy. But understand that what I'm saying about how real love takes a real investment and real commitment, that we see that in this example. He is all in, right? He is all in. He sees that there's someone who's beaten up on the side of the road. He sees him laying there. He walks up to him. He gets on his knees. He bandages him. He takes the oil and the wine and he pours it out upon those wounds. He picks him up. I mean, this guy's committed. He picks up this person who's been beaten up by robbers. He places him on his own donkey. He then brings the donkey to the nearest inn. He takes him into the inn and he bandages him more and takes his soothing ointment and his oils and he puts it on this person who is still unconscious, apparently. He then says to the innkeeper, here is my Visa card. Take care of him for a couple of days because, you know, he had things to do. And I'll be back and I will pay for whatever it is. Whatever this costs, I'm going to come back. He gives him 2 silver coins, I know. But he says, I'm going to take care of this guy. I'm going to pay for this financially. Do you understand? Every step along the way, he is all in. He gives him his colt. He gives him his donkey. He takes up his time. He gives him his money, his oil, his wine that he pours out upon him. Right? His every part of it, he is invested in this. Even, I don't know if you've considered this before, but even and maybe especially his safety. His safety was a great concern here. One of the reasons why the priest and the Levite just kind of hightail it in a different direction is because it was well known that if you go and help someone laying by the side of the road in this kind of a territory where things are dangerous and where there are robbers all over the place, you could be setting yourself up. They're just waiting for you. This is just like bait. This dead or dying person on the side of the road is like bait. And as soon as you get there, and you happen to have a donkey and oil and wine and a couple silver coins or maybe more, man, you are an easy target. So you get what I'm saying? There's a safety issue here. There's a safety issue here. Aside from the fact that it would have been very dangerous for this Samaritan to put this Hebrew, this Jewish person, on his donkey and walk along with him, because what does that look like? It looks like you have beaten him up. You know, you have done this deed. You have done the damage. And there are other people who hate Samaritans who, if they were to see that an actual Jewish person was on a Samaritan donkey, man, you are in a life-threatening situation. And all I'm saying here today is that all of those things point out to one thing, and that is that he prepared. This so-called Good Samaritan, he was all in. He was prepared to just love him. He was going to love him. He's all invested in this, whether it's his time or his animal or his money or his reputation or his safety, whatever it is. There's probably 7 or 8 different things that you could say. These all point to how love really is. This individual willing to go all the way. And honestly, that's the answer I get from God on a Tuesday night, like Tuesday night when I'm driving home and I feel dirty. I don't know if you can explain, I can explain this. I feel like I got to go home and just take a shower. I feel like, I don't know if I can explain. I just feel like I've been in a dark and an evil kind of place sometimes. But I just hear God saying to me, it takes all of you to love. And no, it isn't easy, Stan. It isn't clean. It isn't nice and neatly tied up. It takes investment. It means you've got to be all there. And you just got to keep loving. You have to love. I want to tell you now something that I really believe about Potter's Hands. I believe that there's a lot of things we don't have here. Someone said earlier, we're not a typical church. If you're coming to a typical church, you're coming to the wrong place. There's a lot of things we don't have. We don't have a lot of money here. I think that goes without saying. We don't have, we're not a big church. We're not particularly gifted. We have gifts. God provides always, but you know, we're not professional musicians, professional speakers. There's a lot of things that we don't have. But the one thing we have, I'm going to tell you this, I believe this with all of my heart. The one thing that God has given us more in abundance is love. I mean, I believe this with all my heart, that the one ingredient, the one thing that we have in excess, in surplus, I've been in lots of other churches before, and I'm not trying to beat our drum. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying, here's what the fact is. The fact is, God's given us the ability to really love each other. Last night was a good example of that. Every Tuesday night at the meals is an example of that. We have this proven over and over and over again. I hear it from people who come and visit us or come into this building. They even just say stuff like that. I came in here for the first time, and I just felt the love of God. We ought to celebrate that. We ought to just recognize it and say, well, here's a good thing, and this is something that is actually really important for our ministry. We need to develop and grow in this love. We need to take what God has given us so that we love each other and use it, because it is such a powerful tool in the kingdom of God. There's nothing more important, according to what Jesus says, nothing more important than that we love the Lord our God and that we love each other. We love our neighbor as ourselves, right? So I'm saying this to encourage you. I hope it does. I feel amazing love from you. I know that many of you do too. There's love here. We care about each other. We can't always solve all the problems. We can't always, you know, handle everything that comes our way. We need God to take care of so many of the big issues that are going on. But man, there is some real significant, essential love that we enjoy amongst each other. Amen? Yeah, thank God for that, right? So that's a good thing. That's such a good thing because it's what God's teaching us in this story, in this parable of the Good Samaritan. He says, you got to love. Here's what it really means to be in the kingdom of God. It's to love, learning how to really love each other, learning how that it's not all about myself, but it's about all those other people that are in my life, that God has put in my life, that I can love them and show them who Jesus is. And truly, that's who God is. God is love. Amen? So let's move from that. This is, in a real way, what he's teaching us here, Jesus is really, maybe in a subtle way, saying that he himself is the Good Samaritan. That the way the Good Samaritan behaves and acts and loves is really so Christ-like, right? Just like Jesus. Jesus who binds our wounds. Jesus who was willing to touch the leper. He didn't care. He hung out with Samaritans, right? He loved his neighbor. Is there anyone who gave us a better example of that? Jesus, his love, right? He loved, he cared for, he hung out with prostitutes, with tax collectors, people that no one else was going to hang out with. What did Jesus do? He said, come, I'm coming to your house. I love you. I want to learn to know you. Oh, how great, John chapter 3, John chapter 3, how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. You say amen? Amen. Amen. We've got a God who loves us. Right? This isn't just some story. This is a story where I'm in the story. I'm in this parable, and it is my God who lavished his love on me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all of these things, now get this, listen to these words. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced, Paul writes, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nothing else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Like this is powerful. I mean, if we're going to get out there, we're going to do the Tuesday night thing, or we're going to be loving people, we better understand that it is love that empowers us. It is love that allows us to shine this light of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You are loved by God. He loves you so much. He looks at you and he doesn't think about what you've done. He doesn't think about your mistakes or your sins. He looks at you and he says, that's my son. Right? This is my daughter. I love you with a father's heart. I'm a good, good father. Right? And I want to bind up your wounds. This is God. This is who God is. You may have a different image of God. You may have been taught a different... Can you just... That light is really going to get to me. No problem. No problems. I'm trying to... That's no big deal. But I want you to know today that God loves you. He loves you so much. He cares for you. And there is nothing that can separate God's love from you. Nothing. Amen? And so even if you've been struggling, and even if you think about your past or you think of all the mistakes you've made, and you think today, well, yeah, but you don't know me. I am a loser, I'm a criminal, I have abused so many people and so many drugs and so many other things in my life, you might think, well, how can God love me? I'm just going to tell you it over. I don't know how. I don't know how. But I know it's true that God really loves you. And you cannot leave today without hearing that truth. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your police record is. It doesn't matter how you messed up with your own kids or in whatever relationships you've been in. God loves you. And He wants to bind up your wounds. He wants to pick you up and carry you. He wants to pay for whatever it takes to make you well. For the Father sent His only Son, Jesus. Right? For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God loves you, Teresa. I know you know. God loves you. You got to hear that today. And sometimes we don't hear that from religion. And I just want to end on this point because it's part of the story, is that Jesus makes it very clear, and there's no one who heard this story who wouldn't have gotten this message, that those religious leaders, those guys that were dressed in the nice robes and everything was clean, those religious people really missed the mark. And that this is not about religion. It isn't. It's about the love of God that is ours through Jesus Christ. Religion, listen to me now, religion will always walk on the other side of the road. Because that's the nature of religion. Religion will always keep its hands clean. Afraid to help, afraid to get dirty, afraid to do anything that might really help. That's sort of the definition of religion. Religion always keeps its own money in its own pocket and keeps it there. That's the nature of religion. Religion makes excuses. Those religious leaders, the priest and the Levite, they had reasons. They had reasons why they walked along the other side. They were thinking to themselves, well, I have to walk on the other side. I have to stay 3 meters away from that body because he might be dead. And if he is dead, then I'm going to be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. It's going to be a huge inconvenience. So that's what religion does. Religion rationalizes, it makes excuses, and it thinks about itself. That's what religion is all about. It's all about self-promotion. It's about making excuses. It's about keeping money in their own pockets. It's about keeping your hands clean. Another thing religion does, maybe think I'm being hard here, but I'm not being nearly as hard as Jesus was. Religion will always be pointing a finger instead of lending a hand. And that's why Jesus was so much more about relationship than religion. Amen? Yeah. So I guess the last part of this story, the last thing that Jesus says is maybe the most poignant. When he asks the man, he says, "But which of the three? Which of the three is the best example?" And the guy says, "Well, the one, you know, who helped him." And then it's all about mercy, right? He says, "The one who showed him mercy." And I want to challenge you today. I'm going to ask you the question, how merciful are you? How merciful are you? Mercy is love in action. That's really a good definition for it. We can talk about love all day long. We can say, well, we got to love our neighbors ourselves. We have to love God, and all that's true. But mercy is love in action. How well are you showing mercy? And if you're like me, you got a few people in your life or your lives that need some mercy that we're withholding. We don't want to do it. I don't want to show mercy. You don't deserve mercy from me, right? We all have that. But I'm going to challenge you with this today. I want you to think about it. Maybe there's some old relationship or there's someone in your building that you can't stand this person. You just don't even want to see them. Or someone's done something to you. Just bear with me here a few minutes. Someone's done something to you and you feel nothing but bitterness and anger towards that person. Well, let me tell you that today God says in His Word that for you, be a true neighbor to that individual, you need to show mercy. Who's going to inherit eternal life? That's the first question. The answer is, well, to the one who shows mercy. The one who shows mercy. And I'm challenging you, and it's hard work because it might mean that you need to make a phone call. Maybe you got to write a letter. Maybe you got to walk across the room because the person's in this room. That can happen. Real mercy, real love in action, real love for our neighbor is when we show hesed mercy, the loving kindness, the mercy of God for one another. Let's just bow our heads. Just close our eyes a minute. Lord, I thank you for your word. I just pray right now that you'll open our hearts and that there'll be a face. There'll be, just as we close our eyes, there'll be a name. There'll be a person maybe from our past, from a long time ago, or just from this week even. Someone that we need to forgive. Someone that we need to show true brotherly love to, even though he doesn't deserve it. He should just stay in the ditch, beaten up by robbers. He deserves to stay there. He deserves to be cast out of our lives. And it's only going to be by the power and the love of God that's in us that will enable us today, Jesus, to come to that person and to bind his wounds and to show mercy. So Jesus, right now, in the name of your name, in the name of Jesus, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you'll convict us. That what will come to mind right now is someone who's maybe grieved us or hurt us, someone we don't even like at all. Thank you, God. We pray today that this will be love in action. That we'll show mercy where it is completely undeserved. Because we have received mercy that is completely undeserved. And we don't want to be religious. We want to be Jesus. We want to be Christ to the world that we're in. And so, God, where it's been hard to even look someone in the eye, or when we pass them in the hall, we don't say anything, change that in our hearts. Soften our hearts, God. Remove the bitterness. Remove the sin. Thank you, Jesus, that we love like you love us. And God, I am so thankful that we are a church where you have imparted a great deal of love here. There's a lot of love. I feel it. I feel the mercy. But God, we pray today earnestly that you would cause that love to grow and to overflow and to move into action, and that those acts of mercy that need to flow from us, that they will, God, that they will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us that example. That even while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. Amen, amen, and amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Rob, you want to come up and do that Revelation song? And I know we didn't have a baptism today, and I don't know if usually we've been opening this up, and I'm still open. If there's someone, we had a lot of things going on today, but otherwise next we'll try to focus on it a little bit more. For those of you who are wondering about that, we're leaving the tank open here. We've had a lot of baptisms in the last 2 months. Maybe God's, yeah, that's a good thing. God may be calling you to a new life, a new beginning. And one of the things that the Word of God says is that you do that by getting in the water and getting clean. You can come and see me after the service, and maybe we'll prepare for that for next Sunday. Why don't we stand, and we're going to sing this song together, and then we'll be parting.